This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat now trading at 872¾, up 8¼. March wheat trading at 886¾, that's up 7½. December corn now trading at 761¾, up 6. March corn trading at 762, up a nickel. November soybeans trading at 1565¾, up 18¾. January beans trading at 1567½, up 18¾. The overnight crude oil market, 21 cents higher at 86.45. The Brent crude, 28 cents lower at 108.42. The December gold contract, $5.20 higher at $1,724.30. The U.S. dollar index, 0.091 higher at 80.010. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat ended at 864½, up 7¾. March wheat ended at 879¼, up 7½. May wheat ended at 886¼, up 7¼. December corn yesterday ended at 755¾, up 14. March corn ended at 757, up 12½. May corn ended at 752½, up 11. November soybeans yesterday ended at 1547, up 13¼. January beans ended at 1548¾, up 12¼. March beans ended at 1523¾, up 13. December soybean meal yesterday ended at 482.20, up 62. January meal ended at 475.20, up 55. March meal ended at 464, up 64. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.16, up 7. January oil, 50.53, up 8. March oil, 50.95, up 7. And December oats yesterday ended at 389, up a quarter. And March oats ended at 397, up a quarter. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Wednesday afternoon. Technical buying at the Board of Trade and South American crop concerns helped to move futures prices higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain deal is quoted shell corn bids 12 to 14 cents stronger at 733 to 750. Soybean bids were up 14 to 17 cents at 1517 to 1528. In central Illinois, country grain deal is quoted shell corn bids 12 to 15 higher at 745 to 763. And soybean bids were up 11 to 14 at 1529 to 1542. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 14 to 16 cents at 723 to 766. Soybean bids 15 to 18 higher at 1522 to 1543, while the wheat bids were mostly 8 cents higher, ranging from 828 to 850. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 13 to 15 cents at 1557 to 1565. Basis ended steady to 2 cents stronger at 10 to 18 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis ended $6.20 per ton stronger, ranging from $4.94.20 to $5.02.20. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 14 cents higher at $7.56 to $7.71, with basis again ending steady, ranging from option to 15 over December. And the dried distiller grains today ended mixed, ranging from $2.60 up to $2.90 per ton. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 12 to 14 higher at 741 to 751. Basis ended steady to 2 cents lower at 15 to 5 under December. Soybean bids were up 8 to 12 cents at 1547 to 1549, with basis down 1 to 5 cents range from option to 2 over November. Wheat bids for July 13 delivery ended a nickel stronger at 838 to 843, with basis steady at 35 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place our producer corn bids 4 to 14 higher at 726 to 740. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by 11 to 14 cents with quotations at 1548 to 1552. Soft red winter wheat gained 8 cents at 849 to 850, and the Milo ended 14 cents higher at 725 to 726. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain to producers from country elevators. In northern and western Illinois, January corn bids range from 738 to 761. January soybean bids at 1518 to 1531. In central Illinois, Jan corn range from 749 up to 773. January soybean bids at 1539 to 1557. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids 744 up to 785. January soybean bids at 1533. Up to 1565, and wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 817 up to 844. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 78.27, up 17. February hogs ended at 84.47, up 60. April hogs ended at 90.50, up 60. October cattle yesterday, 126.75, up 85. December cattle, 125.92, down 27. February cattle, 129.87, up 7. November feeder cattle yesterday, 146.30, down 75. January feeders, 148.70, down 80. March feeders, 150.67, down 95. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's afternoon livestock report. And Wednesday on the Eastern Corn Belt, barrels and gilts closed 10 cents lower on a carcass basis. The base price for a 200-pound pork carcass rate ended at $78.12 up to $81, with a weighted average carcass price on Wednesday of $79.57. From the Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar report on Wednesday morning, sows traded mostly $2 to $3 higher with good demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 300 pounds range from $44 up to $48. 4 to 500 pound sows at $45 to $52. 5 to 550 weights at $48 to $55. And heavyweight sows over $550 at $51 to $56. Lightweight boars under 300 pounds at $30 to $35. And heavyweight boars over 300 pounds at $10 to $16. On the Illinois direct trade on Wednesday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded mostly a dollar lower. U.S. 1 and 3 grades weighing 220 to 290 traded at 53 to 57 with a few at $58. And Illinois movement of hogs on Wednesday totaled 13,993. From the Illinois auctions on Wednesday, the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction at Greenville. Early estimated receipts totaled 403 head, and compared to last week, steers and heifers traded steady to 50 cents higher, with Holstein steers $1 higher. The choice steers range from 120 up to 123.50, select and choice at 116.50 to 120. Holstein steers choice at 111.50 to 117. The slaughter heifers choice at 120 to 123, and selects 115 to 120. Also, a short recap of the United Producers auction at Shelbyville from Tuesday. Receipts totaled 453 head, and compared to last week, the slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $2 higher, while the slaughter Holstein steers were 50 cents lower. Slaughter steers range from 122 to 128, select and choice at 116 to 122. Slaughter Holstein steers choice range from 112 up to 118.25, select and choice Holsteins at 104 to 111, and choice slaughter heifers 122 to 125, and select and choice at 115 to 119. Also, a short recap of the Fairview Livestock Auction, their Fairview sale on Tuesday, receipts totaled 213 head, and compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents to a dollar higher. The choice slaughter steers range from 121.75 to 127.50, with the choice heifers at 121.25 to 126.75. On the direct cattle trade on Wednesday from Iowa and Minnesota, steers and heifers on a live basis range from 125 to 126, with heifers on a dress basis at 196. And the boxed beef cutout values on Wednesday closed sharply lower. Choice carcasses weighing 600 to 900 pounds down $3.40 at $194.77, with select carcasses $1.23 lower at $176.65. Also, we have a short recap of the United Producers hay auction from Shelbyville on Tuesday. Compared to last week, the alfalfa hay sold $1 higher, with grass hay also a dollar higher. Trade was considered moderate. Alfalfa hay in small squares, good quality, traded at $4 a bale. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, good quality, traded at $4 up to $5.50. Mixed grass hay, good quality, small squares range from $3.50 up to $4.75, while some fair quality sold at $2.25, and some wheat straw at $3 a bale. That is our livestock report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 189¾, up 3/4. For block cheese, 211, unchanged. For barrel cheese, $2, down 250. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Tuesday, $20.97. And here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.44. For January, $7.55. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.44. For January, $7.48. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.22. For January, $15.60. And wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.12. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $7.44. Corn at Scottville, $7.44. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.22. Wheat at Scottville, $8.12. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. Carlin Viltrek Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlin Viltrek Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlin Viltrek Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Partly cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the upper 50s with light northwest winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 30s, and for tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high in the mid-50s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of a shower on Saturday. Low temperatures in the upper 30s, high temperatures in the low 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, light west winds, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 36 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
This is Brad Gillespie, candidate for state representative. Education is the key to opportunity in today's challenging economy. As a school board member, the disparity in school funding between the Chicago suburbs and downstate is simply unacceptable. Our children deserve the same educational opportunities as suburban children. I want the education system to work for all of us, not just those fortunate enough to be born in certain zip codes. I'll fight for equal funding for our rural school districts so our children receive a first-class education.
Paid for by citizens for Brad Gillespie.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Envirofoam of America and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. On Tuesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. He mentioned overseas grain sales, and I asked him about inventories to cover any such sales.
Well, that's right, and that's where the market has to do its job of rationing, and that gets back to the question, will the futures do the rationing or the cash markets do that? And much like we saw last year with our tight old crop supply, it seemed like futures didn't want to get much above that $8 mark. It didn't seem like anyone wanted to buy it up there. Past that, the basis had to do a lot of the work, and that's already been very apparent here so far. As harvest concludes, we're seeing basis levels very strong. They have eased a little bit in the last week or so, but I got to imagine a lot of these elevators, ethanol facilities, whoever it might be, whatever end user you are, if you don't get grain here right after harvest when you know, a lot of grain is still moving before the end of the year, I would imagine a lot of these bin doors are going to be buttoned up pretty tight until next spring or summer, and they're really going to have to bid up to get it out of the farmer's hands.
And that's going to hurt livestock producers domestically too, right?
Absolutely, especially with the protein shortage that we're seeing. You know, with all the aflatoxin corn out there, some of these DDGs cannot be sold if the levels are too high. So that is all but taken off of the market in that sense. And on top of it, you know, we're starting to see ethanol margins become a little bit more negative now. Near term, is that a problem right away? No, but you know, maybe we have a little bit of a production gap here towards the end of the year. And with less being produced with the good corn, you just have less DDGs. And that has related to a little bit of strength in the soy meal market because we just need the protein out there. And someone's going to have to buy it ultimately. But again, that gets back to rationing that demand.
There's also been talk of upping the percentages in the ethanol blends. Is that going to be a factor later on too?
I think it very well could be. I think they're going to try to keep a lid on that for as long as possible until we can maybe have a better sense of what next year might look like. So if there's any major changes on that, I guess in my personal opinion, that might be delayed until you know, maybe the second quarter of 2013. I don't think anyone wants to send this market into any more of a tizzy than we've already seen, especially after production problems and, like you said earlier, the uncertainty on whether or not we're going to have the inventory to really fill all of our domestic needs.
Well, another thing, too, I mean, if they're not going to know until the next quarter, there's still not going to be the inventory there at that time, is there?
It's hard to say. You know, we're going to know a little bit more on this next supply and rain report as far as the yield's concerned. They can, you know, they do have the ability to adjust acres on this report. We actually saw an increase in the corn acres on the last one based on some of the FSA data numbers they were looking at on acres. I can't imagine they're going to adjust that acreage number too much here in this next report. I think we're going to have to wait until January to do that. By and large, most people are expecting still an acreage cut, particularly in the corn. Most are expecting a little bit of an increase in the bean yield, but also on the back end of that, an increase in that demand. So that acreage number could be a big mystery. And after we get past this report, you know, we're not going to have a lot of information to feed off of. We're going to be tied to the outside markets primarily. There is no supply and demand report in December. The next big piece of information we'll look at will be January, and that's when we'll get our December stocks and also our quote, final production numbers for 2012.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. Officials from the United States Meat Export Federation recently returned from World Food Moscow exhibit. We have this report from Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation.
Thad Lively, USMEF Senior Vice President for Trade Access, recently returned from Russia, where he attended the World Food Moscow Food Exhibition. He discusses the current business climate in Russia for U.S. beef and pork.
It's been a good year for us with both beef and pork exports to Russia, and I'd say the atmosphere at the World Food Show, for example, was very positive, very energetic. Lots of business being done around the USMEF stand at the show. Great deal of interest being shown by our customers, the importers there. I would say our position in the market there is as good as I've seen it for several years.
Russia has set aggressive targets for achieving self-sufficiency in pork production, but they are finding these goals elusive.
The share of pork production in Russia today that's coming from modern production units is considerably higher than it was even just 4 or 5 years ago. So on the one hand, they've made pretty good strides, but the biggest challenge they face towards meeting those self-sufficiency goals is controlling African swine fever. Over time, what we've seen is that rather than bring the spread of this disease under control, it's actually spreading further and of considerable concern and alarm. In fact, you could say to a lot of the people who have made these investments in recent years in swine production. So until they can figure out how to manage this particular problem, their ability to meet self-sufficiency targets is going to be greatly limited.
Lively notes that Russia's membership in the World Trade Organization has improved market access for U.S. beef and pork, but not all challenges have been eliminated.
I would say that's probably something of a mixed bag. Russia shows all signs of following through on the commitments it's made, which are, as far as we're concerned, quite significant for both beef and pork. But where we have a lot of concerns, frankly, is in the whole area of veterinary controls. We've had trouble with the Russians trying to keep plants approved and just maintain a modicum of access to the market at times.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
One commodity group recently quizzed presidential candidates Barack Obama and Mitt Romney about several key agricultural issues. The American Soybean Association posed several ag issue-related questions to the two men seeking the nation's highest office. ASA President Steve Wellman notes the candidates responded to questionnaires on everything from foreign trade to infrastructure concerns.
People can read through their answers, get some information about what the candidates are thinking, and be a little informed before they go to the ballot box. We asked specifically about positions on the Farm Bill and crop insurance, estate tax, biodiesel, biotechnology, trade, research, regulations, and our transportation infrastructure.
While both candidates' responses were a little lacking on specifics on many issues, Mr. Wellman says there were some topics that elicited more in-depth replies. He says the Farm Bill was a major topic of discussion.
Both candidates expressed their desire to get a new Farm Bill passed this year, actually, in President Obama's response. And I think both were fairly common in their response here for the need for continuation of risk management programs that complement the crop insurance programs out there, with some expansion of the crop insurance programs to areas of crops that weren't covered before, and both mentioned livestock disaster assistance.
According to Mr. Wellman, the candidate showed the biggest difference of opinion on the estate tax issue.
On the estate tax, President Obama advocates for a return to the 2009 law, which the exemption at that point is $3.5 million with a maximum tax rate of 45%. Candidate Romney advocates for elimination of the death tax. So there's quite a difference between their positions there.
You can view the entire questionnaire and the candidate responses at the American Soybean Association's website, www.soygrowers.com. The new U.S.-Panama Free Trade Agreement went into effect Wednesday, eliminating tariffs and other barriers to U.S. exports to promote economic growth and expand trade between the two countries. United States Trade Representative Ambassador Ron Kirk says the partnership with Panama's fast-growing economy adds up to support more well-paying jobs across the United States. With this agreement, half of American ag exports to Panama will become duty-free, bringing an additional $2.2 billion in ag exports. Last year, the U.S. exported more than $8.2 billion of products to Panama, which included $504 million of ag products. The new agreement will give the U.S. access to the $22 billion Panamanian services market. DuPont Pioneer agronomy experts say fields tested in drought-stricken areas may have plenty of nutrients waiting to move back into the soil, despite some soil tests showing low potassium levels. DuPont Pioneer agronomy research manager Andy Hegenstaller says potassium is quite safe in plant residues, so growers should not be alarmed if soil test levels of the nutrient are lower than expected. But he warns more nutrients will be released into the soil with precipitation. Since there was little rain during the 2012 season, potassium absorbed by corn plants during that time has not been released into the soil from deteriorating corn stalks, and in a drought, the nutrient can get stuck between clay layers and until water moves through the soil. In the early 2000s, the Atkins diet helped sell a lot of beef. Now it turns out the high-protein, low-carb diet could help prevent the onset of cognitive impairment in older people, not just weight loss. This is according to a study by researchers at the Mayo Clinic who tracked and evaluated more than 1,200 people between the age of 70 and 89, noting their dietary habits. They then identified 940 participants with no sign of cognitive impairment at the beginning of the study and watched them for 4 years. Once that time passed, 200 participants showed signs of mild cognitive impairment. Those with the highest carbohydrate intake at the beginning of the study were nearly two times more likely to develop mild cognitive impairment than those with the lowest intake. Those with the highest intake of protein were 21% less likely to exhibit cognitive impairment. Even with these results, though, researchers stress the importance of a healthy diet with a good balance of protein, carbs, and fat because each has an important role in the body. 6:35 on this Thursday morning in electronic trading as we close. December wheat now trading at 872, up 7.5. March wheat trading at 886.25, up 7. December corn now trading at 761.75, up 6. March corn trading at 761.75, up 4.75. November soybeans trading at 1567.75, up 20.75. January beans trading at 1568.75, that is up 20. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Envirofoam of America.